Hey, cuties.
Hi.
We have a new giveaway going. We made some really cool enamel pins that are black and gold. We're really excited about them.
Shout out to Andrea Dominguez for designing them. They are awesome. If you want one, all you have to do is post on your Twitter, Instagram, your favorite moment from this last year of Dunktown and use the hashtag Dunktown Highlights. We'll be sending them out to a randomly selected group of winners.
We're excited to share these with you, and we're excited to hear what your favorite moment from the last year was. Thanks, cuties.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Hello and welcome to Dunktown, the podcast where we learn about basketball one game at a time. I'm Anastasia.
And I'm Agata.
And today we have an extra special guest. You know him from YouTube, and he may have been your TA in college.
It's true.
It's Jarvis Johnson.
Hi, hello.
Hey, welcome to the show.
I'm a little bit hoarse in the voice, so I have extra radio voice.
I thought you were going to say you're a little bit horny. I'm a little bit horny.
Well, that'll segue right into what we're talking about today.
We do appreciate a good heads up when someone comes in.
That's what happens when I am.
Look, I don't mind if you're horny. Just tell me.
Look, just to give you a heads up, my heads up.
Well, you know,
is it explicit?
We asked for it. It is explicit. It's got the little explicit sign next to it on iTunes, because who knows what kind of trash we're going to be talking about.
That's true.
I, for the record, I'm not at all horny. I nearly cried watching the ending theme song of High School Musical.
It's true. We witnessed this. But yes, you are a little
those
horse.
Exclusive? Those are two exclusive things. You can't be horny and crying.
Good point. I think, are those exclusive? I mean, they are on this podcast right now.
Oh my God.
No, I fucked it up. Sorry.
No, you did great.
Why are you so hoarse?
Oh, I just have been talking a lot, I think. Like I was at an event this past week, and a lot of it was mixers in things where you're supposed to be chatting, but there's also music playing. So you're like yelling. Yeah. Mm. So I did a lot of yelling, and then I kept talking, and I did a podcast yesterday and my voice was different. So I'm just doing a podcast tour now where I have,
do you like them better
voice.
Than us?
No.
Okay, great.
I like them much better.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh,
not big favorites, but they're my favorite ones.
Oh, that hurts. We like
leave,
to be everyone's
please.
Favorite
leave
podcast.
Right now.
All right, well, it's like door shut, AIM door shut noise.
Nostalgia. Speaking of nostalgia.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We watched
High School Musical.
Yes.
It's true. It's my fault. I'm sorry.
We'll get into that a little bit, but very quickly. We want to talk about your basketball history.
Oh, yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about where you grew up, what your, if any, basketball history you have in your life?
Well, in West Philadelphia, I was born and raised. Sorry, for some reason, that's immediately what jumped in my head. No, I grew up in Gainesville, Florida, which is like a college town, home of the Gators. And basketball and football were very big things because University of Florida is good at sports. So I think I was forced to pay attention to them from a very early age. And then also I used to play street ball on the streets.
Oh, you know, wow.
Where I'm from. But other than that, I never played any organized basketball. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a fan of the sport. And I watched a lot of college sports. And then I kind of fell off when I was in college. I went to Georgia Tech for college, and we have a basketball team that like is Division I and stuff, but I just never went to any of the games. I went to all the football games, and started playing in intramural teams and stuff.
Oh, that's fun.
And nowadays I dabble. A couple years ago, me and my coworkers were on an adult intramural team at Zog Sports or whatever. We were in, played in the league. I'm very bad at basketball. But I do enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
You're like a decently tall person,
right? Yeah, that helps.
Right?
That helps. And then I like used to be heavier, and then I lost some weight, and I think that improved my vertical jump, so I can almost dunk.
Nice.
I can like grab a rim, so that's fun.
Cool.
So that's a fun stunt to do.
That is cool. Do you follow the NBA at all?
I follow the Warriors because I live on top of a Irish pub in San Francisco where every sport game plays. And
it is like a go-to. Yeah. I have watched many games there.
Yeah. So I've been, I mean, I am forced to experience all the sports that they play there, because if they ever amass a big crowd, it essentially means my couch will start vibrating. So I either have to.
You always know when a game's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Haven't mentioned I'm horny.
Yes, you have.
But yeah, so that's in the way that I'm surrounded by sports culture. But I follow the Warriors. Not so much this season, though.
Mm. Yeah.
This season I've been a little checked out.
Okay.
I feel like you probably are better at playing basketball than we are.
Why would you say that? We've never played with them before.
Yeah. I know, but we've never played.
You dunked on me before we started.
Yeah, we did. Like, that's true.
Important. You did use a chair to.
We record in a gym.
Yeah, you can tell by the echo.
We force all of our guests to play 2v1 with us.
It's very tough.
That would be amazing.
You're pretty formidable opponents when you put yourselves together.
And it's like
you get on my shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Globetrotters rules.
Yeah, you wear a very large basketball jersey.
It's just Shaq's normal jersey.
Oh, that's fair. It is still very large. That's true.
Yeah,
but we also use his normal shoes, even though it's just one person's feet in there.
Yeah, your shoes are constantly falling off because you don't have a size 28.
Shove a bunch of t-shirts in there to try to fill up the space.
It's clown shoes, or they look like clown shoes.
Yeah.
So okay. It was kind of hard for us to pick a movie today. Yeah,
that's true. It did take us fucking forever.
I think first of all, the Dunktown crew has this like master movie list of all the basketball movies we want to watch, and it's quite long. And there's probably not even everything on there.
Definitely not.
And so we were like, well, let's just like kind of narrow it down. I think we like focused on comedies because you are a comedy fellow.
You
love to laugh.
I love to laugh. That's absolutely true. I make myself laugh, and then and that's all you need in life.
Hey,
yeah,
that's a good way to live.
And I guess to give some context, you and I know each other because we did improv together.
Because we laughed together.
Because we laughed a lot together.
We did do comedy things together. We were on a team for a while, and we took classes together.
Yeah, this is funny. You were in, I met you in 101, but we were in different classes.
Yes.
But our final show was together.
Yes.
And then from 201 onward, we were in classes together. Yeah. We were on a Herald team together.
History was made.
And then you acted in my sketch team's sketches.
It's true. Great sketches, by the way.
Oh my God, thank you. Great acting.
Thanks. All of these things that none of you can experience.
But it was great because we often had like a musical number in our sketches. And we always knew we could count on you to sing.
Love me a musical. I don't consider myself I think I'm starting more and more to consider myself a musical person just because I enjoy music a lot. Like I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just was like, I want to sing along to everything. Mm-hmm. And that turned into me just singing more and getting better at it just because like 10,000 hours or whatever. So.
Yeah.
Have you ever done musical improv?
No. Mm. Mostly because I am afraid of it.
Okay.
You know what? Actually, I say that. I've never done musical improv, but like in high school, I used to freestyle rap with my friends. And mm-hmm. so like now I love improvising raps.
Yeah.
Just for fun. So it's not, in a way it's musical improv.
Yeah.
I feel like even on our Herald team, someone would always get pimped to sing. Like,
sure.
Between you and Kayla, who was in like drama in high school.
Right.
And a couple other, and Emily was an opera singer.
Yeah.
So our Herald team was like very musical already.
It's true.
So someone was always like starting a song in, you know, our shows. So.
And as much as I love to sing, I wasn't really comfortable singing for real in front of people. And so the improv backdrop was like, this is a joke. So it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah, you're laughing at me. So
right. Exactly.
I'm not embarrassed.
That's Precisely. It's a great smoke screen.
Yeah. You're laughing with me right. instead of at me.
Maybe yeah. that's why I was not good at improv is because I would never sing. Anytime somebody was singing like trying like, to for, like trying to make the scene be about singing, I was just like, I don't want to do this.
That's kind of a rude thing to do if they don't know anything about
right.
you, like how comfortable you are with singing.
Exactly.
We did have Brian Lucette, who was also on our Herald team. There was one moment, I don't think you were there, but Kayla tried to pimp him to sing and he ran at her singing, "Why do you always fucking make me sing?"
Oh my gosh.
And she like legitimately got scared, oh, no. which was so funny.
Oh no.
But he always hated it, even though he was like in bands and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's funny now that you mentioned that. In karaoke, he'll like, you know, tear the house down.
Yeah. But anyways, the whole reason why I brought this up is because we were looking at comedies to watch. We were thinking, okay, maybe we'll watch Sixth Man. Maybe we'll watch Semi-Pro. Maybe we'll watch Uncle Drew. And then someone brought up High School Musical and you flipped.
Yeah. We were watching all the trailers for all the movies. And then I think it was you or someone just offhandedly said High School Musical. And I had forgotten that.
Oh, it's because you were talking about some other Disney movie. And then I was right. High School Musical.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cause, yeah, I brought up the Disney movie Full Court Miracle, which is a Jewish basketball movie about Hanukkah, which is great. It's a wonderful movie.
I think Gabe's going to watch it.
Gabe has it on scheduled for later tonight.
Yeah. High School Musical came up and then I remembered that I have a deep personal history with High School Musical.
You got so excited.
Which is like something I forget. Like I get really into stuff in my life and yeah. then I invested a lot of time in things related to High School Musical.
Right.
I
you
completely
learned.
Completely forgot about it.
You
yeah.
learned the dance, you told us.
Yeah.
And well, made a video about it.
Well, so High School Musical is a Disney Channel original movie that came out in 2006, I think, starring Zac Efron and Vanessa Hudgens as Troy Bolton, Gabriel Montez.
Who's the director?
The director is Kenny Ortega. He's also the choreography. He also worked on Thriller and Michael Jackson's final tour that never happened because he, untimely passed away.
Wow. Wow.
But yes.
Impressive.
Where was I? I think when I was in high school when High School Musical came out, or I was just about to go into high school. So I was like, this is going to tell me what high school is about.
Very accurate portrayal.
And I went to, so the high school in High School Musical is called East High School. And I went to East Side High School, which are, they're both EHS and they're very close. And so I, you know, really saw a lot of parallels to my own life.
Were you the Wildcats?
No, we were the Rams.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah. And I think we just like co-opted the Dodge Ram logo and like no one talked about it. Like it was like we had shirts and everything. I have like, and so it would be like, why are you really into the Dodge logo? And it's like, no, you don't understand. This is my high school. This is my alma mater.
Definitely cease and desist worthy.
Yeah. But I don't know what it was, but High School Musical became a behemoth. It was like a big cultural moment. Mm-hmm. And I really liked some of the choreography and I liked the songs, like unironically. And some of my friends wanted to make like maybe a video where we were doing High School Musical dances in a group. Mm-hmm. And I, because I cared the most, was the person choreographing everyone. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned the dances to several actually High School Musical things. And then we never ended up doing that group performance. But I did make a YouTube video of myself doing one of the dances from High School Musical 2 as like a consolation prize.
The ending scene?
No, it's actually a random song. I think it was just the one that had the coolest dance moves. I was also really into like boy bands and stuff back then. So any opportunity to like learn a pop song with cool choreography, I was like game.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was like was that your first foray into YouTube?
Yeah, basically. It was like the second YouTube video I uploaded that wasn't a clip of me playing a video game.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa, that's crazy. And now you're full-time YouTuber.
Yeah. I haven't... That High School Musical video is still on my channel, but it's unlisted. And I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to make it public again because back when I started YouTube, it did really well. Like, as I put it out when the movie came out, because I think the movie leaked, and I, of course, like pirated the movie before it aired on TV, because that's how deep into High School Musical I was. And I started like learning the dance. And so I was able to put the song out, like, or the video out right around the time of the video, or right around the time of the movie coming out. So it got like 60,000 views in 2007, which was a lot of views back then. And, yeah.
So I've actually seen this video because one time during improv practice, you busted out with the High School Musical dances.
Yeah, it's true.
And everyone was like, what the fuck? And you were like, well, look at 13 or 14 year old Jarvis.
Oh, the reason I brought up that story of making the video unlisted was because when I started on YouTube like a year and a half ago, or a year and a half ago, it had so many views compared to the videos that I was making that were just starting out. Cause I came back to YouTube after like, I don't know, 10 years or something. And I thought that people would be really confused if the videos who were watching the videos where they were getting hundreds of views, seeing this like very popular video, dancing High School Musical as a 14-year-old.
That makes sense.
So now it's less weird. So I'm going to make it public again and get lots of confused comments.
I'm going to watch it. I'm definitely going to watch it.
But yeah, that's been an ace in the hole for me. It's been weird. I once was at a, like an overnight interview with an oil company in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Amazing.
And someone found out about that video and they played it in a group of like all of us at like some sort of lunch thing. I think they asked if I was cool with it and it, you know, I was, so it was, but it was a very weird context for it to come up.
It was a job interview.
It turned into a job. It was like this weird, it was like this very strange, like weekend summit type thing. But there was also a job interview because like we want to woo you, but then oh hey, maybe you want to work here. So
yeah,
so it was a thing that had these overtones of one day we could groom you to like think about working at our oil company, and I was like, no thank you.
That sounds terrible.
Mean it ended up being fine. I didn't go work at an oil company, don't worry guys.
Spoiler,
you're an oil baron now. You're like super work at an
oil
rich
company. I started an oil company
and you struck you oil
is the future, what can I say.
Well, that's true.
Let's talk about this movie a bit, but first, let's meet the boys.
Well, great group of guys.
Okay, so we have Zac Efron starring as Troy Bolton, Vanessa Hudgens starring as Gabriela Montez, which you've already mentioned. Ashley Tisdale as Sharpay Evans.
It's true.
Lucas Grabeel.
Grabeel. Yeah. Lucas Grabeel. Way back.
As Ryan Evans. Corbin Blue as Chad Danworth, which actually I never heard his name, I don't think, throughout the whole
Chad,
movie.
Chad, they said it exactly once. They said his first name and his last name exactly once because I did not know that his last name was Danworth. And they also say it like separately from his first name. So it's like something, something Danworth. And then you see him like running away or doing a split or whatever the fuck. Like.
Which he did a lot.
Yeah, he's just doing random acrobatics for no reason.
Then we have Monique Coleman as Taylor McKeezy, Bart Johnson as Coach Jack Bolton, who is Zac Efron's dad, who plays Zac Efron's dad.
Oh, yeah. I was gonna say, well, he's not actually Zac Efron. He's Troy Bolton's dad.
He's Troy Bolton's dad. And Allison Reed as Miss Darbus, which sounds a lot like Jarvis.
For my entire life, every time I watch High School Musical, I hear my own. Because you know when you have a cocktail party effect?
Yeah.
I get that for anything that's like got the R sound. And Darbus really just knocks that one out of the park.
There was even a couple times that Agata said Darbus and you were like, I thought you were saying my name.
Yeah, it's because it's rare to have a name that sounds like mine, so I'm not used to differentiating it from other names.
So as you mentioned, this was directed by, oh my god, I just
Kenny wasn't. Ortega.
By Kenny Ortega. And written by Peter Barsacchini.
Don't know who that is.
I wonder what else he's done.
I'm really curious.
Let's see.
I feel like I've went down this rabbit hole before because I was like, how did they make this work of art? Let's find out. Let's meet the behind the scenes faces.
Well, it's interesting that Kenny Ortega has such a storied long career. Like he was an older gentleman, I imagine, when he was making this. And, you know, probably...
Yeah, I hope I'm pretty sure I didn't make up any of the stuff I said about Kenny Ortega working with Michael Jackson, but
probably not. Anything good, Gabe?
The most interesting, he wrote all three High School Musicals.
Well,
and something called Dance Fever.
He choreographed Dirty Dancing. But what Kenny Ortega did.
He also wrote a movie called Drop Zone, which I saw as a kid, starring Wesley Snipes.
Nice.
And he also has something on the hopper, I should say, called Ping Pong Rabbit.
Is this Peter Biascucci or whatever?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to throw in that Kenny Ortega choreographed Dirty Dancing, which is pretty cool. And St. Elmo's Fire, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Choreographed.
Wait. Choreograph, I guess Ferris Bueller's does have a big dance scene. What is Pretty in Pink? That doesn't have a dance scene.
Look, I'm just reading his credits.
Maybe it's when she goes to prom. Anyway,
let's get into the movie.
Yeah, maybe it's all the acting, blocking of all the actors. That's choreography.
Anyway, let's go to the movie!
Cute. Drop for the movies.
We start out in a ski lodge.
Oh boy.
In who knows where, but my guess is that it's like Utah or something, because that's where they shot the movie.
Right. And Jarvis has obviously seen the movie before. I have seen the movie before many times.
I had never seen
Anastasia
it.
Anastasia and Gabe had never seen it.
I'm so curious about your like first impressions of this movie.
But well, I also like, I had seen it like 20 times and I totally did not remember the opening scene at all. It was weird.
2.5. We almost like rewinded the movie to try and understand the circumstances under which the first musical number happens, because they immediately get the main characters together.
Well, it's also interesting. It's like, okay, there's an establishing shot of a ski lodge. Then you see Zac Efron playing basketball against his dad.
Right.
And then his mom is in like a beautiful gown. And she's like, what are you two doing? We're on vacation. And it's like, where is this basketball court? Why are they playing basketball? Right. Like,
there's a basketball court in the ski lodge. And coach dad is and son, Troy Bolton, are so into basketball that they can't let it go, even when they're at this ski lodge.
And then we cut to a party that's all children.
Right.
Right.
It's like, New Year's Eve.
Some sort of youth New Year's Eve like countdown party with karaoke.
And they're like, okay, it's time to sing. Here, we're choosing two random people from the crowd with a spotlight.
And they introduce Gabriella. I can't remember exactly how they introduce it, but it's her studying.
Yeah. Right.
So they're like, she's basketball.
She's a nerd. She's a big old nerd.
Straight A's.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they're like, okay, time to sing. And then one spotlight goes on him, one spotlight goes on her. They don't know each other. They're strangers.
And he's like, I can't sing. I can't sing.
Yeah.
He's freaking the fuck out.
And then they both break into a song perfectly with harmonies included.
Yeah.
An original song. This is not a Madonna song or something. Right.
It's a song called The Start of Something New. And
all the songs are original in this movie.
Yeah.
It's, the soundtrack's great. I gotta say.
I will every now and again listen to the soundtracks of all of the High School Musical movies, because it truly just takes me on a trip through memory lane. But The Start of Something New is, you know, the perfect thematic way of introducing the characters and their chemistry together.
This is
forcing them into a situation that doesn't make any sense. I hate it when somebody's like, Agata, it's time to do karaoke.
You must have related to this so hard, because you hate karaoke.
That's true. I do hate doing karaoke.
Agata, whenever someone has a karaoke party, which our friend Andy always does for his birthday, it is coming up soon. And Agata is pissed. She doesn't want to do karaoke. She doesn't want to watch others do karaoke.
That part doesn't bother me as much. Like, you guys can have fun, but but somebody's always like, come on, do it. You want to do it. You want to. And I'm like, I don't want to do it.
And that's and then Troy and Gabriella, they're just like, oh, whatever. And then they belt it out.
Yeah.
And harmonies.
My theory, because The Start of Something New isn't a real song, but must be a song in the world. Or, I mean, it's not a real song, but it wasn't a song in the world of High School Musical.
Uh-huh.
My theory is that they were singing the karaoke version of High School Musical, The Start of Something New, inside of High School Musical, and there's like a grandfather paradox situation.
Mind blown.
Yeah. That's my theory. They're like, I love High School Musical. That's my favorite movie. Yeah.
That's so weird.
So you can read that in my fan fiction.
It's also it's also amazing that it is the start of the movie, which is a new movie.
Yes. Wow, you really...
They really just hit it on the
nose. This is like a deep reading. High School Musical is not ready for it.
It's a start of their love. Yeah. They just met. They then
it's
afterwards...
the start of his love of singing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, it's the start of so many things.
Yeah. Right.
That's it's the start of the High School Musical craze.
That's a good point, because the start of the singing, like, neither of them are comfortable with singing.
Right.
But that performance was magnetic enough to drive... It was like the momentum that seems to drive all of the motivations in the movie.
Yes. Right.
Despite the fact that it was this awkward, like, New Year's countdown.
Yeah.
And then...
they get each other's photos.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what do they do after they meet each other on stage? Oh, Zac Efron, while they're still singing, gets so into it that he nearly knocks Gabriella off
That's right.
the stage.
He's, like, body rolling into her, and she's like, ooh, get away from me, and very, almost falls off.
Very awkward dancing all around, from beginning to end. I mean, they get a little more loose in the later songs, but...
The final number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cut to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Well, wait, but they do take photos. They, like, try to meet and talk, and instead of exchanging contact information or names, question
no mark? They gave each other names.
Okay.
Yeah,
they take photos of one another on their flip phones. They're like Motorola Razors,
and she runs up,
she runs away.
And that's now, it. Yeah, they just creepily each have a photo of the other person.
I just
person.
Wanted to call that out again, because it's so weird.
It is
to
weird.
Just take a photo of, like, exchange photos of your face.
Imagine doing that.
Yeah. I mean, they probably were like, oh, I need something to jerk it to later.
Well, I guess that's the best way to go. And you know, Zac Efron's got the old helmet hair, the classic late 2000s, like,
Bieber sweep.
Yeah. Just
the Bieber sweep is a fantastic name for a game show, and also the name of that haircut.
Yeah.
So we cut to Albuquerque, New Mexico. We are at East High School. We see who other than Zac Efron coming off of a bus, his buddy Corbin Blue. Who I just called Corbin Blue.
He's
throughout
just
this.
Comically a jock.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, we're going to win this year. Basketball's everything. Yes. And then he says, we're going to take it to infinity and beyond.
It's true.
Weird. Yeah. Weird opening line from him.
Yeah.
For someone
light
who
year of him.
Spends the whole movie making fun of people who aren't into basketball, he quotes like a Disney movie or a Pixar movie.
Yeah, he talks a lot of shit in this movie. I gotta say, his character is always like, man, you like to sing, and then he like does a backflip into a split.
Yeah, it really does. Like... and then we're introduced, we cut to Gabriella.
Yeah, she's her with her parents
and the principal.
Who yes.
None of us have really talked about the principal, but what he says to Gabriella is to set up the next part of what Gabriella says. He says, I've read your transcripts and they're so impressive. You'll be really successful here at East High.
Yeah.
And then she said, I'm tired of being the freaky genius.
The school's freak genius. It's like, whoa.
That's, you just you called yourself
so
a genius.
High of yourself.
I'm tired of being so attractive and smart. It's frustrating.
It's like, okay, you don't have to like brag about all your accomplishments then.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's like you brought this up, Gabriella.
Yeah, yeah, be low-key about it. No one has to know how smart you are.
Ugh, I'm so tired of just getting straight A's all the time.
We're then introduced to Ms. Darbus, Jarvis's name twin
and nemesis,
who speaks in like a stage theater accent the entire movie.
Yeah,
yes, she looks like Professor Trelawney from Harry Potter.
Yes.
She's like eccentric with all her like crazy accessories and stuff, and she like screams in a pseudo English accent. Not even English. I don't know
what
it is.
There's a name for that accent.
It's a mid-Atlantic accent.
Is it a transatlantic?
Transatlantic.
Accent?
Transatlantic. That's what it is.
Well, okay.
Because it's essentially what it is. It's like,
I guess it is. Yeah.
It's like Katharine Hepburn.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Where it's you're an American, but you're trying to sound British.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's and she perfect. Can't say musical. She has to say
musical.
And what you have to know about, I was about to say what you have to know about Professor Trelawney. What you have to know about
that's
Ms.
a different
Darbus
podcast.
Is that she hates cell phones.
She hates cell phones. She collects all of their cell phones.
And whenever there's a, like, a sound, like a beep or a ringtone from a cell phone, she's like, is that a cell phone?
Yeah, she's crazy about cell phones.
That's her one character, her one game for her character.
Yeah. We see the meeting of, well, there's a weird, like, before, like, what's her name? Gabriella shows up to class. Troy sees her. He's like all horny. And then after class, he confronts her and then he says, can you? And she says, believe?
They're like finishing each other's sentences.
Yeah, like immediately.
The very first thing they say to each other.
There's a later part, now that we've brought this up, there's a later part where it doesn't make sense that she's trying to finish his sentence.
That's right. It's the breakup scene.
Yeah, and now it makes sense that she's like, oh, we used to be so in tune, but now...
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Or whatever she says.
But also, like, why isn't he like, why are you here? Like, she doesn't explain it. She's not like, oh, I transferred schools and my mom's job, or whatever.
He's so sure that she remembers their interaction. Like, how many random interactions do you have with strangers?
Yeah.
Nobody had chemistry.
They didn't even kiss or anything.
You look familiar. Yeah. Where do I know you from? It's like, can you believe it? And it's like, excuse me? Like,
who are you? Yeah. when he sees her, they both look at their photos that they took of each other on their phones.
Like it's their fucking phone background or something.
Like, wait, is it her?
I've been searching the world for her.
This is her glass slipper.
Have you seen this have you seen this freak genius?
So then Sharpay, played by Ashley Tisdale, who I actually really love because I used to watch The Suite Life with Zach and Cody. Mind you, I was way too old to be watching this show.
No such thing.
But she's so funny. She's really great. Like her. But she plays Sharpay, which is a kind of dog. And she is so horny.
Not the kind of dog that she has in later movies.
No. She is the horniest.
She's so horny for Troy. She wants him so badly in this moment.
But she's also like... very full of herself, but not full of herself enough to believe in her own abilities to not sabotage everyone around her.
So she signs up for the auditions for the High School Musical with a Sharpay's Sharpie.
There's a space, you know, it's like lined college ruled paper or whatever. And she fills all of it up with her name.
Yeah. Mm. So she doesn't even want anyone else to audition. So like you said, she has no confidence in her own abilities.
Weirdly, because she speaks so highly of herself. But when it comes to brass tacks, she's like, I want to be the only person in the running.
Right.
Which doesn't really make sense.
And then we meet her brother, Ryan.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and he wears lots of different hats.
Yeah, he's a real hat boy throughout the whole movie. He's got to have, 10 hats?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what his hat closet looks like.
That joke continues throughout the trilogy of movies.
Believe it.
And his other personality characteristic is he's kind of Sharpay's lapdog.
Yeah. Mm,
which is weird because they're brother and sister and
she's the one with the name of a dog. So.
So we see another musical number here where the basketball team is singing Get Your Head in the Game, classic song.
So I feel like
squeaking included.
I had never seen this movie, but I had heard this song before.
For sure.
Yeah, this is one of the, now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of those songs have like transcended, you know, because there's Get Your Head in the Game and then there's the final song that like you could know even if you've never seen the movie.
For sure, yeah.
So this is a... work of basketball and musical genius where the sneaker squeaks and ball bounces make up the percussion of the song, essentially.
Which it's beautiful. It's quite dope, if I do say so myself.
Also, the basketball choreography is amazing.
Yes. None of it valid basketball.
Practice. Do not do those moves to try to learn basketball.
And to be fair, they weren't doing valid basketball moves before the song started. Their practice had people who were doing some sort of one-handed push-up where they were also bouncing the ball. None of which would ever which would qualify, that would be traveling if it were in a game.
Yeah.
There's so many moments where it's just like, okay, now we're in a circle and we're all one dude has a ball and he's sort of dribbling and now we're in a line and we're separating out.
You know, they spend a lot of time in the movie explaining that Troy is really the only person who can save the team. And I think based on this,
playmaker.
But also he's the only one who's ever gotten to practice because he's the only one with the ball ever.
That's true.
Everyone else is just doing hip hop dance moves.
Troy, you have to help us in the championship. None of us have touched a basketball. Yeah.
The theme of this movie is just everyone being like, Troy, you gotta win this game. And there's so much pressure put on this kid. He's 16 years old or whatever.
And his dad's the coach.
And Coach Daddy. So it's like, how can you put it all on one person? Basketball is a team sport, as we know. You know, you can have a big star on your team, but as long as if no one else is helping, then you're fucked.
There's a lot of dubious morals, actually, in this movie. And messages.
Yeah, the messages are weird.
But it's, so, they, like Agata said, they keep calling him a playmaker. But you're a playmaker. You're
the playmaker.
You're the playmaker on the team.
He's the only one who can make plays, not the coach.
I'm sorry, Coach Daddy. Maybe teach the other basketball players to make plays.
Like, what are they doing when he's at the, like, play practice?
Yeah. That's what it is in High School Musical. They're trying to do play practice, and the playmaker's not there, so what do they do?
So while he's like rehearsing for the musical, are they all just sitting
when
around?
When he's rehearsing for his play. Yeah. It really all. Oh, playmaker. It's poetry.
It makes sense.
It's the duality of the playmaker.
It's beautiful.
But it's just like, you know, maybe teach some of the other players how to play basketball.
Right. Yeah.
And also Troy, in the song, Troy is just like, I want to try some other stuff. Or I want to be like
this
thinking about other stuff. And it
so
sounded,
good.
Yeah, like I think Anastasia pointed out. Do you want to say it?
Well, the lyrics to Get Your Head in the Game sound like he is queer and not, and hiding it and not out.
Right. The severity to which he is afraid to show that he is into anything other than basketball is out of fear of some sort of like ostracization from society.
Right.
Like they're gonna, he's like, oh, okay. If I come out to Coach Daddy, he's going to kick me out of the house.
As a theater fan.
As a theater fan.
Yeah.
If I come out as wanting to sing, even though our basketball practice is mostly singing.
Yeah.
Then.
And like lying on the floor with a basketball.
And he also seems to fear Corbin Blue's judgment, which he is very judgmental.
Yeah.
Corbin Blue is extremely judgmental
he
in this
needs
movie.
To chill out.
At one point, like being judgmental is a big part of the message of this movie and being judgmental, being bad and whatever, but they have a song called Stick to the Status Quo, which is expressly about sticking to what you know and not getting out of your comfort zone.
Right.
And
sort of being your stereotype.
Yeah. You should be your stereotype and nothing else.
You can have no other interests.
And Corbin Blue is like, can you believe these people, these lower like beings are trying to talk to me, a basketball player? Like, how dare they?
He's full of yourself there, buddy.
He's also like, you're a basketball player. You can't do anything else. You can't sing. But he's singing.
All while wearing a shirt that says, I come with my own background music.
Yeah. Yeah.
His shirt collection throughout the whole, like I think maybe it was just like popular in the early 2000s to have like pithy slogans on your shirts.
But these are like clearly made up by their prop department because the sayings on them make absolutely no sense. Another one is laughing on the inside.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It sounds very like Joker-esque.
Are you not laughing on the outside? Like, what are you, a serial killer? Like what's happening?
I mean, I think like fundamentally, like what's happening in this movie doesn't make sense because they're upset that he wants to sing and they are all singing about how mad they are. Like,
yeah.
What? Why?
It's the suspension of musical that you have to.
I guess.
Suspension of disbelief.
It's never been so like on the nose before.
Yeah. That partially, like, I kind of like how that contributes to this ultimate conflict in it because welcome to my TED Talk. As an audience member, you're enjoying the, you know, musical performances of these basketball players who don't value musical performance. And so you're now, you know, even further rooting for the side where they are happy about the dance and song that you're breaking out into.
Yeah.
It's all playing with your mind.
Yeah. Right. So
that's what Peter Biascucci or whatever was thinking when he read this.
So Troy's trying to get to the auditions.
Meanwhile, Sharpay signs Gabriella up for academic decathlon and she's like, no, but I didn't want to be a freaky genius.
Right. It's in an effort to remove the competition. Once again, like Sharpay is so insecure that she can't even have another person audition. So she tries to trick Gabriella into having more extracurricular activities.
Yeah. So, just sign her up against her will and then have her be like, guess I gotta go do this.
Yeah. So she joins the decathlon, but Troy's trying to sneak to auditions and Gabriella's trying to sneak to auditions and they're both sort of hiding.
Yeah. And he's got a janitor bucket and this bucket is basically a character.
He's got, movie. It's like one of those trolleys where it's like, there's the wash bucket, there's like the mops.
Yeah.
And he's like hiding behind it.
So before that starts, he's like ducking his dad. I think his dad's looking for him because he's missing from practice. Right, so there's this very, you know, if you set this to creepy music, it would be like a horror movie where like Zac Efron's running away and Coach Daddy keeps like looking over like looking past like walls and corridors and things and try to follow him and he finally escapes and somehow
that scene was almost like the Jurassic Park scene where he's like hiding from the velociraptors
and then he disguises himself by hiding behind a mop.
Yeah just like in Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Clever girl.
So then Sharpay and Ryan do audition. Ryan's wearing a green hat that makes him look like a train conductor. And Gabriella and Troy are watching and they're sort of like, oh, I don't know. Should we do it? Should we not do it?
They're like creeping in the back row, but it's probably pretty obvious that they're there. I mean, it didn't look like that big of a room to me.
And Darbus is like, anyone else? Last time. And I'll say this one more time.
And my word is bond.
But she says it like 5 times. Is there anyone else? Anyone?
As if she wants more people to audition.
Right, right.
But then they're like, as she starts to walk away, Gabriella's like, well, I'll do it. And she's like, nope, too late.
Yeah. It's like she's playing hard to get or whatever.
Yeah. Her actions are so baffling throughout the whole movie.
They don't make any sense. Yeah. She seems like she's in the pocket of Sharpay, but then also not. None of her actions make any sense.
No, her motivation is so like confusing. And then we see that there's a little composer girl.
Yes. Kelsey, played by Alyssa Rulin.
You loved her.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So Darbus supposedly leaves, everyone leaves, but the composer girl does a comical trip and drops all of her music. She's going to take hours picking it up. So both Gabriella and Troy run to help
her. Five sheets of paper on the ground and they rush. Yeah. They rush to pick up those papers.
And then without looking at the music, she's like, you know.
Well, she like sets it up, right? Like she puts the music on the music stand and she like starts playing her piano. And it seems like their eye line is like looking at the music and then as soon as they start singing they look away and suddenly know the entire song.
They're like staring up to the side at each other. Like,
first of all, this freaky genius and basketball player suddenly know how to read music,
right?
Yeah.
And then they're not even looking at the music because the song is in their heart.
And they're harmonizing too, which is like always the best part when it's just like, oh, that was just natural for you.
Mm. And there's this sensual moment where we started to think, are the three of these people going to be a throuple?
That's what all of us thought, to be honest. Me was at 14. I was like, throuple, for sure.
It was a horny vibe, for sure. We all felt it.
You didn't know what polyamory was back then, but you're like, that's what it is.
I opened the dictionary and I flipped to it. It was a screenshot of this movie.
With composer girl.
I understand everything.
That's funny. So they're allowed, they get a call back from Darbus, who's hiding behind the janitor bucket.
She was like, I'm the janitor now.
Well, we find out about the callback. Okay, wait. So one thing I want to talk about is after the audition, there's a practice because Troy and his dad's entire relationship is basketball.
Yeah.
And so they're practicing at their home basketball court. And Troy is experiencing this tug for the first time in his life where he's like, oh, I might have an interest other than basketball. And he's like, Dad, have you ever wanted to try something new? And his dad's like, what? You mean like going left instead of right? His entire like things like, you mean like in a basketball play when you decide to fake in a different direction? All I know is basketball. It's just like so funny how comically basketball dad is.
That was ridiculous.
So you mentioned the stick to the stuff you know song.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that one of the basketball players wants to be a baker, a nerdy girl wants to be a hip hop dancer, and a stoner bro wants to play the cello. Yeah. Are they all
Can you
already
believe
do this?
The audacity of these people?
Those stoner bros were so fucking high, and then that guy pulled out his cello and they were like, dude, you fucking blew my mind right now.
He was, I believe when he was describing a cello, his friend was like a saw? Like, he's like, you use it like this. And he's like, whoa.
Like, you use it like a saw, bro?
And he's like, no, it's not like a saw. It's like a cello, like an instrument.
And at the end of the song, at the beginning of the song, the baker boy is like, I want to make creme brulee for the first time. And then by the end of the song, he has a creme brulee in his hand.
How did he make that? You have to have a freaking kitchen torch. You have to have a torch, which is not allowed on campus.
Well, it's because they go to the richest high school in the land.
Rich people don't have torches at high school either.
Maybe their home ec has a whole torch section.
I was thinking of the school cafeteria. Like the argument that their school's so fancy-dancy that they would have like a blowtorch for flambéing things. would make sense if it weren't for the fact that all of the food they were eating was like chili cheese fries.
Yeah, right.
Gabriella was holding
normal high school like snacks. Yeah.
She's holding a tray that just has chili cheese fries and an orange on it.
Yeah, which is a balanced meal.
And also doesn't go well together. Yeah.
And she ends up slipping and dumping it all over Sharpay, who is such an asshole about it.
Like a sniper. She slips on a puddle of milk, goes 1 foot forward, and like lifts up her her tray as she's falling, except for she doesn't fall, and only the chili cheese fries go behind her and fall on Sharpay.
Right into her titties.
So by the end...
It's true. Yeah. I've got a cleavage full of chili cheese fries.
I was like, she is a sniper because you look at her tray and it's still got the milk, it's still got the grapefruit, but Sharpay's been blasted with these chili cheese fries.
That is impressive. And Sharpay is so rude about it.
She's so mean.
God. Yeah, she's such
a... She tells on her. She lies.
Yeah. She lies. She makes up some fake news about...
She did this on purpose.
Yeah, she threw it at me. She dumped it on me, which is not true.
And this is when we started to suspect that this film predicted the Trump presidency.
It's true. Yeah. It was all there. There was stuff, actually it predicted a lot about our modern society.
It's true.
For example, there was a commentary on how schools don't, care about academics as much as they do sports.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's a principal scene with Darbus and Coach Bolton where the principal clearly favors Coach Bolton.
Right. Right. And yeah, Coach Daddy and Darbus have some kind of weird, rivalry that isn't really explained.
Yeah, it's like, what are they fighting about? Is this the first time they've ever had a conflict?
Yeah.
It seems like the way that they treat each other is as if they're always like, ugh, Darbus is always like trying to get into my basketball.
But also it's a little bit like, are they gonna kiss?
Yeah, that's another fanfic I'm working on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Gabe pointed out that Coach Daddy looks a lot like Dexter.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of scenes where he's like looking longingly at something off screen, and it really does feel like Dexter.
Yeah. So there's a scene where Gabriella and Troy are magically on a rooftop greenhouse.
Yeah.
Which is at the school, inexplicably.
Yeah. And like for some reason, Troy is the only person in the school that knows this place exists because it's completely empty. It's beautiful. I want it on my rooftop. And it's like, why does this exist at the school, and why do you have access to it?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it would make sense if they were, like, growing stuff for the cafeteria or something, but...
it makes no sense.
Why? And then later, we see the whole fucking basketball team go up there, so everybody on the team knows, at least.
And Gabriella and Troy decide in this moment, we're gonna really give this all we've got. They confess their feelings so clearly, like every high school student does.
Yeah,
it was like, they were so in tune with their feelings. Like, I am currently not today.
Yeah. Like, it was impressive. It was like they'd already been through like 5 years of therapy or something.
Yeah, it was well spoken.
Clear with their intentions and their feelings and like communicating.
You know what? Now that you mentioned therapy, the song Get Your Head in the Game is very much like a guided meditation. Where he's having his attention pulled in another direction. And he's like, no, snap back to reality. You know,
focus.
You've got to think about basketball.
Right. That's true.
Then from the greenhouse, we have the longest crossfade in the world that essentially shows them painting and singing and practicing and making sets. What are these sets for? They're just doing auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess for the play, but...
Should we spoil a big reveal that High School Musical, there is no High School Musical in the movie?
Yeah.
They allude and they prepare for this musical, and the climax happens at the callbacks for the musical.
Right. It's ridiculous. Like, I mean, I've seen this movie many times and I forgot about that.
I thought, like, I imagine in my, like, you know, reconstructed memory that the big basketball game was happening at the same time as the school play, but it wasn't even that serious. It was callbacks.
Right, right. And it's like, yeah, so much of the time is spent with them, like, building trees and painting right, shit. Yeah. It's like, we never got to see any of that.
There's a big deleted scene that's like an entire third act for the movie.
Yeah. They were like, let's just cut it short. Yeah. So after the greenhouse, we've got what I like to refer to as a double intervention. Like, both sets, Gabriella's friends and Troy's friends, for some inexplicable reason, team up to be like, we gotta shut this down. And like, they coordinate this impossible, like the basketball guys are just like, look at this basketball guy, he won. Look at this basketball guy, he won. And look, it's Coach Daddy, also, and he won.
The degree of history that they are aware of for their high school team.
Yeah, right.
They're like, Joey Tristafats, class of 97. Like, he was the MVP. And it's like, this is still high school.
Right.
And their names are like Simon Slamma Blamma Mamma Stevenson. It's like, that was this guy's nickname in high school. Yeah. That's insane. Yeah. And they also
talk about them like Hall of Fame NBA players. Right.
Well, that's right. The thing. They don't say, they talk about these players as if they've done these huge accomplishments, but they just won the high school championship. Maybe not even state, maybe just like local, regional.
Right. It's
like, not clear.
It's Joey Slamma Stevenson went on to play Division 9 at Santa Fe Community College, yeah. Where he maintained a 2.2 GPA and ultimately dropped out to become a farmer.
Like, Corbin Blue's whole argument was like, if you go into musicals, all you're going to be is like someone that my mom likes. But if you stick with basketball, you could win a high school championship and go on to what?
High school regional championship against our rival school, West High.
And that's going to change your life forever.
Greatness. Yeah.
Yeah. While this is going on, Gabriella's friends are giving her their own intervention where they're like, where they're basically like, basketball players are fucking dumb as shit.
Yeah.
And
look at your dumb boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, let's look at some pictures of like smart people.
Yeah.
So you can remember what it's like to like be smart.
Yeah.
And they show a horrific photo of Eleanor Roosevelt. She looks like a monster.
Yeah.
And right before that, they showed the progression of man.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
they do talk about evolution a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, remember, this is like 2006 or something. They pull up a computer and they FaceTime Troy from the locker room.
It's a live stream video of him like, talking shit about her.
Where did they capture that? Wait. Like, I have a lot of questions about that moment because I thought that I had, you know, fallen asleep and woke up at something that like made sense, because not only is the video the higher quality somehow than the entire movie had been up to that point.
True.
Like, but it was also done over Wi-Fi and in an era when YouTube could only do like 320p or whatever
right.
in 2006. And was there a camera on the other end? Like,
they didn't show a camera, and they all have flip phones. There were no cameras and like that could do that.
So I believe in the writer's room, they were like, we need some sort of motivation. What if we just had a video? My theory, once again, is that this is a deep fake and that someone has like algorithmically generated a video of Troy denouncing Gabriella. And he never actually said it. Once again, fake news. Once again, predicting
interesting.
The modern.
Interesting theory.
our modern political landscape.
Amazing.
And he basically was, I mean, he wasn't that mean about her. He was just like, you know, it's a girl. And I'm like, I've got the team's important or what. I don't know, whatever bullshit.
Yeah. It's like, I'll forget this girl. I'll be in the team.
Yeah. He wasn't like, she's a dumb slut. I fucking hate her.
Yeah. Because his, right. Because his friends are saying that like, hey, you need to focus on this team. You're getting too distracted by this theater stuff and this Gabriella girl. And he's like, don't worry. She's just a girl. I still love the team.
Yeah.
And Gabriella hears that and she's like, just a girl. No. And then she like does a whole song.
She sings about it. She sings her feelings out about how
great
bummed
solo.
She is.
Introspective.
Where the entire school is absent.
Yeah. She does her sad little like railing jiggle. And
railing
then,
jiggle's a great term for it.
Yeah.
Railing shimmy.
Yeah, shimmy. And then she slowly walks down the stairs.
Belt.
Yes, the belt is weird. It's not in the hoops of her pants. It's so wide. Weird fashion trends back then.
Yeah.
So there's so many. So then Gabriella says to Troy, this is when they don't finish each other's sentences. She's like, we're over. Forget this. I'm going to do decathlon. Then there's a bunch of scenes of her doing chemistry alone. And the two sets of friends just see them being sad that they broke up.
Because this is, like, on paper should be one of the most important moments in the movie.
Right.
Because due to this, like, you know, fake news live stream situation, Troy and Gabriella are, like, apart now.
Yeah.
And they're both sulking. And so their friends see that, and they recognize their differences aren't that different.
Yeah, they're like, I didn't realize my friend would be so sad. I guess we should make things right.
Yeah.
Like, there was character development, but none of it happened on screen or in the movie.
It wasn't very clear why they had a change of heart, but all of them were like, okay, let's try to fix this.
So then the team goes to Troy and is like, hey, you got to get back together with her. Baker boy bakes him some treats.
Oh,
and then
that's how he
solves problems. I will bake my way out of this situation.
He's just like, eat your feelings.
Yeah.
And so Troy goes to Gabriella's house. Gabriella's mom answers the door and she's like, she's upstairs doing a homework and such. We're like, what's in such? Mom, what do you think she's doing?
She was the actress playing the role was clearly acting like a bad actor. Like the mom was bad at improvising what she was doing, but it came off so strangely.
Yeah.
It was a weird line reading for
and
sure.
We see Gabriella in her room, which is huge. She has a king size bed. She has a BlackBerry. She's wearing Juicy Couture sweatsuit.
She's
huge
balcony. She's studying next to a lamp that isn't on. And the lamp behind her is on.
And then Troy calls her, and then she's sulking in her room, and he magically appears in her balcony.
Magically is one way to describe it. Like a serial killer is another way.
It is very creepy,
because
for sure.
It's, you know, in horror movies, when somebody's like walking past a window, and then suddenly it's like, tink, and somebody's there.
Yeah.
That's the cut that they use. Yeah. Like, Troy's just like standing, you know, in the
you
window.
It wasn't sexy at all.
The director did work on Thriller, so that's maybe true. That was from his Thriller days.
I'm pretty sure you could cut a spooky edit of my
Hey, Dunktown listeners, please send us a spooky edit of this.
Okay, so we're still in this period between auditions and callbacks at this point. And Sharpay decides, let's push the callbacks to the day that both Troy has a basketball game and Gabriella has her decathlon.
Scholastic decathlon.
Yeah. And she takes this idea to Darbus, who inexplicably is like, let's do it.
Yeah, fuck those two. I fucking all of a sudden hate Troy and Gabriella.
Yeah, she literally is like, oh, is it that Troy and Gabriella? Girl, I've heard enough about them. Let's ruin their lives.
Right.
Sounds like someone's jelly.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because she was on their side before. Nothing happened that would make her not be on their side.
Also, she needs people for this musical. Like, the only people we've seen audition are, like, interpretive dancers.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of terrible auditions.
Troy and Sharpay.
So, as a viewer, you're like, oh no, what's going to happen? But then Gabriella and Troy are like, don't worry.
We got this.
We're going to make a plan. We're a group of smart people and a group of athletic people, and they all put their hands in. Go team, we're going to make it work out.
Yeah. And it's very important at this that we don't know any of their true details of how they accomplish their plan, just that what their plan will do. Mm-hmm. Because when we see what the actual plan is, there could not have been a way that they achieve this.
It doesn't logistically make sense at all.
Yeah.
All three of these events are happening. So at the decathlon, we've got...
So locations, we could talk about that. The decathlon happens in the school.
Okay. Yes. So the decathlon happens in the school. It's Gabriella and all her nerdy fucking friends, and they're... they've got a beaker of something blue.
And they're like, it makes a bunch of gas that, I don't know, could murder the whole school, I guess.
We don't know what it is.
So they evacuate that one room.
Her friend has the computer out at the decathlon.
Right. Is that Taylor?
Yes. Yeah, so yeah. Taylor is somehow hacks into the main lights.
Yeah. So
of the gym.
She hacks into the power grid of the school and turns off the power at the game. So the scoreboard starts flickering, the lights start flickering, yeah. And they go out.
So the game, also the championship, the regional championship, also magically happening at the school.
Which would never happen because you need like a third,
right.
Unbiased right. location for a championship.
And then how did they turn off the lights just in the gym?
So the scoreboard goes crazy.
It's like, yeah, flickering.
And Troy looks at Carbon Blue and is like, let's do this. Just runs out. And Gabriella and Troy show up at the... Oh, also, meanwhile, over many hours probably, Sharpay and Ryan are doing this salsa dance for their audition.
Yeah, that would be a bop to the top.
Yes.
Great song.
Great song.
Kind of cultural. I mean, not even kind of.
Definite cultural appropriation.
Definite yeah. cultural appropriation.
Not on my radar as such, you know, as it was clocked into my memory. Immediately after I saw it and they were speaking Spanish, I was like, uh-oh. Yeah.
Caliente.
Yeah. Suave.
Yeah. It's problematic for yeah. sure. And yeah, their dance is probably going on for, I don't know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We can assume.
Because they keep intercutting it with the academic decathlon, which is an event that has to take multiple hours.
Right.
And like half of the basketball game.
Or yeah, either half of it or the only time we see the scoreboard, I think it's 8-8 when the power goes out. It's like very strange.
No, actually.
Oh, 'cause then we go back. Yeah.
No.
No.
The final score is 68-67. Not to ruin the
spoiler alert.
Right. You're right. But I think they show us, I was like looking at the ordering of the cuts and it was like basketball game 8-8, academic decathlon, bop to the top, basketball game 30-something to 30-something. Bop to the top again. Wait a second. How long is this song?
Bop to the top goes on for like 30 minutes.
Yeah. And also, just a reminder, still the callbacks. This is not a performance.
No.
Yeah.
They are dressed in their, I guess, are you supposed to wear your outfits
no
on the callbacks?
No way.
They have like full costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the basketball scoreboard starts flickering. Troy runs out. He meets Gabriella at the theater.
Magically in a sweatsuit now.
Yes, he's wearing a sweatsuit. He's followed by the entire basketball team and the other side.
Which doesn't make sense. Like, literally, they're in the championship basketball game. The entire basketball team and their rival basketball team go, you know what? Let's all go watch the callbacks for the spring musical.
Not even the musical.
The callbacks.
Just the callbacks.
They rushed over there.
And then, weirdly, there's a group of people in berets, matching red berets.
Right. They're probably not Ryan explained. Fans.
Yeah. They love Ryan.
They're his fan base.
So then we have the iconic performance of
Breaking Free,
which is probably the most famous song to come out of this movie. You may know it. I love this song. I think it's fun. She's wearing her little nerdy science jacket and then she rips it off.
Oh, yeah, which was very stark to see because yeah. It's like one moment she's in a lab coat or yeah. whatever, and then she's like in a normal outfit. I would like to now mention that Zac Efron, for the majority of this, well, so Zac Efron doesn't sing any of the actual songs in High School Musical 1. They're sung by this like musician named Drew Seeley, and it is never more obvious than in Breaking Free when like none of his like runs or is like mouth flaps don't match. I say that like it's an animation, but like it's just like none of it matches.
But like yeah. there are sometimes where his mouth isn't even like open wide enough.
Right.
It's like because if you were a singer that for a music video you were lip syncing your own song, which is a really common thing that you see, mm-hmm. those people sang the song, so they know the intricacies of it. And it looks like Zac Efron didn't practice enough to like learn how yeah. to move his mouth yeah. for the song.
That's true.
But beautiful song. We're all in tears. Fucking Darbus throws her clipboard away and starts dancing.
This is upsetting. I'm not going to. I was going to say she seems to have a personality disorder.
I was going to say, is she bipolar maybe?
I don't want to like diagnose somebody.
Let's not diagnose Darbus. She's great, but. Wild swings.
Yes.
Wild swings.
Yes.
So observable.
We go, after the performance, everybody's happy. They go back to the game. There's like 2 seconds of gameplay and they win.
Yes.
68-67. Why couldn't they just have done 69?
Yeah. 69.
Come on.
I feel like they tried for 69 and then the copy editor like saw it and then they like changed the numbers a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there was like somebody was like Peter Biascucci was like, they're going to be 69 to 68. And I'm like, we can't put that in the movie. This is a Disney movie.
That's
the only
true.
Thing that even can reference sex is this weird scene where after Troy and Gabriella sing together, they're at the set building thing and they're like bouncing up and down while looking at each other in the eyes.
That was a very odd thing to see and did not make any sense.
So much happens in this final number that I don't even know if we can talk about all of it. But essentially, Gabriella and Troy go to kiss, but they immediately get cock blocked by Corbin Bleu. Mm-hmm. Then they go to kiss again, cock blocked by Taylor. They do not kiss.
And then again, they're cock blocked by Sharpay, who is not mad at all.
No,
that
she
just
loves
lost the spot. To
and
them.
By the way, this is during the final number, We're All in This Together.
Right.
The famous We're All in This Together.
Right.
Of High School Musical fame. You've heard of it.
Yes.
It's a good song.
It's a good song.
We were all bopping around.
It's a gif so that I often use whenever I'm trying to encourage someone. Mm. I'm like, we're all in this together. Here's the gif from High School Musical so you know it's real.
That's good. I like that a lot. Sharpay has completely changed her tune. Doesn't make sense at all because she's been fiercely competitive and like sabotaging them left and right. I guess they did so well that they impressed even her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really not clear because this is the moment when everyone comes together and they sing about being all in this together. But the like none of what we saw in the movie earned that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So Baker Boy gives Sharpay some baked good. And then after the credits, we see...
Wait. I have to say something
yes.
else from the last...
number.
Yes. Gabe's wife, Andrea, came into the room and looked at Ryan dancing and said, is he a magician?
She was like, he looked like the magicians at my school, which is even a funnier statement. What?
The other thing that I would like to point out is that Troy and team just played an entire basketball game and now they're all singing and dancing and they're not tired.
Yeah.
Oh, should
None
we?
None of them are even sweating.
Right. No, they look great. Their yeah. hair is perfect. And should we mention that as soon as this dance number starts, Jarvis jumps up from his seat
yeah.
and starts doing the dance.
I just wanted to see if I still knew it. Turns
you
out
did.
I do.
You did.
It was very impressive.
Little dog Louie was like, what is going on right now?
Yeah. I just wanted to also be in it together, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I get it. I wish I knew it so I could be part of
I'll
it.
I'll teach you after those.
Thanks.
So after the credits, we see Sharpay happens upon Baker Boy, who's by himself in the gym. And she's like, I fucking ate your baked good and I'm horny as shit.
Yeah. She is like locked in on him that he looks scared from across the gym.
Yeah.
You know, see the horny
people,
eyes.
A lot of people give Marvel credit for popularizing the after the credits scene. But I know in my heart that it's High School Musical.
Yeah. Because they did it first. They did it best.
Yeah. It was
Iron Man wouldn't come out for another year.
It was legendary, really. She comes over. He looks like he has shit his pants as she embraces him.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the end of the movie.
Oh my God.
We made it to the end.
It was so good. I actually loved it.
I
great movie.
You know, as bad as it is, it still was so fun.
It's fun.
It is.
Yeah.
Very fun to watch. The songs are fun to listen to mm-hmm. and watch them dance some of them.
It's Disney. It's got like, even though it's a Disney Channel original and not like a Disney movie, it still has the like Disney smoothness. Like it just goes down easy despite the fact that none of the decisions make sense, that the plot doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But in a very early 2000s way, it was kind of like a good message too, where it's like, do whatever you want to do, who cares, don't be a stereotype. Right. And if your dad is like super hard on you about basketball, just like be shirtless a lot in front of him and he'll come around.
Take those nipples out, baby.
There's one Zac Efron nipple scene.
And you know,
and they can only put in one because the test audience is wet their pants.
Let's give out some donkeys.
Donkeys!
So the donkeys are awards that we give out for arbitrary categories that we make up on the spot.
We got to give out most points. It goes to the Wildcats.
Okay.
It's 68.
Yeah. Honestly,
second place is
get one more fucking point, Wildcats.
Yeah.
That's all we ask.
Maybe also we could. There was only one mascot in this movie. It was Wiley the Wildcat. His costume was a little janky.
It was quite bad.
But since he was the only one, maybe he could get an honorable
okay,
mention.
That's fine. I didn't see him do any like flips or anything cool. But
he really just jumped up and down with the team to celebrate.
That's what I was like, he looks like everyone else. He should be like doing a cartwheel or something.
What Jarvis revealed to us, because Jarvis then made us watch clips from High School Musical 2 and 3.
Forced, yeah.
And they were great. And so Ryan later becomes the mascot. And I think he does do a flip.
Mm. Oh, he's quite acrobatic. These Disney actors are all so talented.
Yeah.
You saw the twinkle in my eye.
Yeah, I was like, do you wish you had been a childhood Disney actor?
I for sure wished I was in a boy band or in High School Musical. I think that's why I learned the choreography. I was like, maybe one day I'll just like need to bust it out and they'll hire me on the spot.
Okay, so Gabe, do you have any dunkies?
Sure. I wrote down, I wanted to give the laziest sign dunkie. Somebody in the crowd at the basketball game had a sign that just said, go team. And I'm just like, you're not even going to put the name of the team. Are you just taking this to every sports game you go to?
They just have one sign. They cannot make another one. So it's been passed down through the family for generations.
That's funny.
Did you have one, Jarvis?
I have a few, but one I just thought of is that I'd like to give the Amnesia Award to the Wildcats because their team chant is, what team? And then they're reassured, Wildcats. And then once again, what team? Wildcats. And then they're like, ah, Wildcats. And then they yell, get your head in the game.
I mean, they literally don't have their head in the game if they don't know what team they're on.
Yeah, it seems now that I'm hearing it again, I'm thinking it. They might. It's like you're talking to your grandpa. And he's like, "What team?" And Wildcats, grandpa. Sorry, what team? Wildcats. Wildcats, grandpa. Get your fucking head in the game. That's how I'm now thinking about it.
Yeah. How about let's give a dunkie to Coach Daddy for worst dad.
Yeah, this dad only cares about basketball. Yeah.
His son is reaching out to him for help.
Yeah,
with like expanding his horizons, and all he fucking cares about is turning left or right.
I'm sure there are scenes that are unwritten of because they don't have any exposition in this movie whatsoever. But like, or the character development, but the dad and the mom, I'm sure them planning the winter getaway for New Year's, it was like, well, does this one have a basketball court?
We can't be too far from a basketball court.
And then she's like, Coach Daddy, I want to shake things up. And he's like, what, like faking, right?
Yeah, there was your son is going through like such a transitional phase in his life, and he's asking you for advice, and all you can fucking say is some basketball shit. Like, come on.
There was that really great scene where Troy has four basketballs in his backyard basketball court, and he's shooting them, and he's all alone, and he gets frustrated. He throws the basketball.
He's missing them all, yeah.
And he's just like, oh, and he lays down on the grass. He's like so frustrated. And Coach Dexter Daddy is looking so creepily at him from a dark window at the house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he like slowly closes the curtain and backs away. You're like, whoa.
With no context and with like a slightly different color grade, that should tell the viewer that this man wants to kill this boy.
Yeah. He's like, I will murder my son if he doesn't win the championship.
I would like to give a dunkie for the Rich Kid Award. To literally everyone in this movie. Everyone is so wealthy. Everyone's house is huge. They go to a high school with so many like amenities. Like they've printed out posters for the basketball team.
Yeah. Oh my God, those giant posters of the basketball team in like high resolution.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Larger than life posters of Zac Efron.
What do you think happened to that poster of Zac Efron that's like takes up a whole wall?
That is in a closet somewhere.
Yeah. Someone who worked on that movie has it.
That's so bizarre. Because if you imagine, like, if you walked into my room and I just had that poster, you would be like, I need to leave.
You know what? It might be in the Hollywood Museum, because have you guys ever been to that place? It's like, I want to say it's on Highland, like right by Hollywood Boulevard, and they have to advertise it on the wall. They have like memorabilia from you know, movies or whatever. And they do have a picture of him from High School Musical.
Oh, wow.
And it says High School Musical. So I'm like, what could they possibly fucking have from that movie that
anybody
would give a
shit
about?
Should we all go right now?
We should.
I've got another one. Most predictable play award goes to Faking Left. Because not only is it the only thing that Troy and his dad ever practice on screen, but it is also in the lyrics to Get Your Head in the Game. So I feel like if you want to beat the Wildcats, all you have to do is listen to their playbook in the form of a song.
Exactly. They release their playbook as a soundtrack. You're like, oh, I'll go left because he's gonna or I'm gonna go right because he's gonna go right.
If you recall, High School Musical, the soundtrack in this movie already exists, so they just listen to that. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, okay, I know exactly what to do.
Okay, so the winner is, I mean, I guess the Wildcats, or maybe us.
Let's give it to us.
We like win.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just feel so uplifted after this movie.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
Great fun flick.
Yeah.
Gabe, you also hadn't seen it before. What did you think?
I hate it. I'm out.
Wow. That does not surprise me.
Oh, so rude.
Thank you so much for being here, Jarvis. What a
fun
time.
Thanks for having me. I had so much fun.
Oh, we had fun too. Is there anything you'd like to plug?
No, you can just follow me on the internet. I'm at Jarvis on Instagram and Twitter. So,
and your YouTube channel?
It's just Jarvis Johnson. If you just search Jarvis, you'll find me.
Cool.
You're the only Jarvis on the internet?
I'm popular enough now that I come up first.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Cool. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Dunktown Podcast. Check out our website, dunk.town. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thank you to Andrew Clotworthy for our beautiful theme song. Thank you to Andrea Tomingas for the artwork. Thank you to our listeners for coming on this journey. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.